Oh, hi, podcast listeners. There's many ways you can listen to the Real Nerds Podcast. You can subscribe on iTunes. You can also subscribe on Stitcher Radio. You want to send us a Twitter message? You can do that. It's so easy, at Real Nerds. Like us on Facebook, Real Nerds Podcast. You can visit our website, realnerdspodcast.com, where there'll be a lot of articles for you to not only read, but to listen to our previous shows. Do you like your stories told through pictures? Then you can also follow us at Real Nerds on Instagram. You can also call us, 720-6NERDS5. Thanks for listening and enjoy the show.
Camera, action!
Well, a real nerd knows who shot, and a real nerd can follow the plot, and a real nerd
doesn't
can...
Doesn't talk film! I'm sorry.
Take it outside.
Well, a real nerd knows who shot, and a real nerd can follow the plot, and a real nerd will give it all they got. Lights, camera, action!
Hey, all you crazy moviegoers. This is Real Nerds Podcast, back for its 14th year of movie-going experiences, where every week we see a new movie, and then we podcast about it. I am Ryan. I am joined by a man who I've known for 30 years now.
Yikes.
I know. It's getting close to that time, Brad. Brad, how you doing?
Oh, boy. Do I have a story for this week's movie?
Oh, really? Nice. Yeah. This week we saw Wolfman. Stay tuned, where we'll recommend the film or not, play the trailer, and then spoil the film. We also talk about movie news this week. Corinne sent us something, and the films we watched this week. But Brad, the big news story this week for outside of film is they finally released Switch 2 information and when it's going to release sometime next year, or this year, I guess it is. It makes me really excited. You can never take my excitement for video games away from me. I still get really excited for it. How about you?
You know, I'm a diehard Nintendo person, and I'm here for it. I just can't escape the Wii U vibes of this.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah, like my Switch that I have now, I don't even have the OLED version. I just have the launch day version.
Me too.
And I'm really happy with it. Like,
yeah,
it feels like the perfect, like, after all these years, it's like the perfect system for me. Like, I'm not someone who needs like my graphics to be so pristine and like the highest frame rate. Like, it doesn't change the gameplay for me.
I agree. No, I'm with you on that.
So this, you know, Nintendo is known for being innovative, and like typically each new console is like a drastic change. This really just feels like what should be a Super Nintendo Switch to me. Which is fine. Like, I don't know where else you can take gaming at this point. Like, they have pretty much VR, and that's not like a big deal for people. I just don't know what else you could do. Like, the combining a handheld and a console is like the pinnacle for me. So I need Nintendo to show me what's next, and this doesn't feel like what's next. It just feels like a better version of what I already have.
Yeah, I think it's because they, this is just me speculating, but because the Switch was so popular that they realized they didn't need a handheld gaming console anymore.
Yeah.
That it took care of all of that. And I hear you on what you're saying, but I can never replicate how excited I get, because you're right. You know, gameplay matters the most. And the one thing I love about Nintendo is gameplay of their core games can never be matched. I still get so excited and so in love with a new Super Mario game. I know you're a Zelda guy. For me, it's Super Mario. And every time a Mario game comes out, I can't remember, and I'm talking about a core Mario game, where they haven't delivered. And
yeah, Wonder is amazing. Like,
Wonder is an amazing game.
Yeah.
Just straight up one of the most fun experiences I've had playing a game. And so that can never be I can never lose that, if that makes sense. I will always get super excited, because that means Nintendo's able to push innovation further. Because, you know, Wonder is not actually, it's kind of weird. It's not considered a flagship Mario game, even though I think it should be. The really last one is Super Mario Odyssey, which is brilliant. And they introduced, you know, his hat with it, Cappy. So I'm really excited to see what they're going to do. And that came out 8 years ago. So I'm really excited to see what they're going to do. I really hope that their other launch game is going to be a Mario game, because the Mario Kart that's coming out is obviously is going to appeal to everybody. And Mario Kart is a great game. The mechanics are fun. You can pick it up and play. But I really hope they have a new super innovative Mario game, because that's all I want. And I, to this day, Super Mario Brothers is my favorite video game. It will never be replaced as my favorite video game because of the joy and wonderment I had playing it. And I still get that to this day with new Nintendo consoles. Like I still get excited. I can, and I'm 43 years old, but seeing it just gets me all amped. And I and you're right. It feels like it's just an upgrade. I'm hoping, because it's just an introductory, you know, trailer, that when they do the Nintendo Direct in April, they're like, hey, this is why it's better. This is the features that it has. And
that's what I'm hoping for.
We're going for.
Is like, I guess the really big thing they could do is make it like as powerful as a PS5 and a handheld, like at a price point that's affordable. Like maybe it's $400, which is like really expensive for a Nintendo system ever. But like at least it would silence like everyone who's like, oh, you know, I get all these great frame rates and I can, you know, all this, you know, like PC level stuff. It's just like, oh, cool. Now Nintendo's managed to do that in the Switch 2. That would be like a game changer.
Yeah. And it's, and you know, honestly, and maybe too, because I don't care about stuff like that. I'm a PlayStation guy. I like action adventure games like Uncharted and The Last of Us. I'm not a big first person shooter guy. Honestly could care less about Halo and Call of Duty. I just want fun games. At the end of the day, I want games to be fun. And that's what I get. You know, I've been playing Super Mario, Mario and Luigi Brothership, and it's just fun. Like it's, and it looks amazing. I don't know if you've played it yet, but it looks like you're playing a Mario, like cel-shaded cartoon. It looks amazing. And I love that Nintendo is sticking with the game cards and it's backwards compatible.
Yes.
Which I think all video game systems should be.
It's
just, especially now when all things are optic discs or these game cards, they should be backwards compatible. And that they're going to still have game cards, I love, because, oh, everybody wants, you know, digital copies of it. And I don't want digital. It drives me crazy. I want to actually have it. But I get excited, and I was excited when it dropped because, again, I know I went on a really long journey there, but I love Nintendo, and I love when something new and innovative comes out. So,
also the other argument, the thing that bugs me is like when people complain, like, "Oh, it's been like 7 or 8 years since they released a new console." I'm just like, "So what?"
Yeah,
like you done with the Switch that fast? Like you need one every 3 years? Like,
yeah, but I mean, I always push back, and I'm sure you do too. I mean, have they played Tears of the Kingdom? That game looks incredible.
Yeah.
And Mario and Luigi Brothership, I'm telling you, when you watch the trailers online, it looks nice, but when you actually sit down and play it, oh man, even my little boy, because he loves watching me play it, he says, "Daddy, it's like I'm watching a cartoon." I said, "I know, man, it's super, it's beautiful." And it gives the developers at Nintendo more horsepower to develop the ideas that they have, I'm all on board, because they hands down make the best first party games. No one can touch Mario in gameplay. I'll say it till I'm dead. I'm sorry. That's just how I feel.
No, I agree. Yeah. The other thing too is like they complain like, oh, maybe the Switch 2 will have hardware that actually runs the games. Like, you know, playing Breath of the Wild, I maybe ran into like once or twice where the graphics, you know, lagged as Link was running. Like it didn't ruin the experience for me, but somehow those couple times is ruined it for, like, I just can't stand the mentality of some people.
I agree. And it's, well, you know, now it's, we see it because we do a movie podcast and people want to find what's wrong with stuff instead of just enjoying it.
Yeah.
Me, I want to enjoy it. And I, and that's, and maybe that's why we're different, Brad, is why graphics aren't that important to me. Sure, they can help, but I can tell you right now, as far as gameplay, very few games can touch Super Mario Brothers on how well that game plays. You know, to this day, I can pick up Super Mario and I still think the controls are tight, the music is incredible, and graphics for an 8-bit game, I think, look awesome.
Yeah. I remember in the 32-bit, 64-bit days, like 3D platformers before, you know, the 64 came out, were never like great. And then Mario, once they, like, they did it, they figured it out. And then everyone modeled their stuff after that.
And I mean, I got the Mario 3D All-Stars for the Switch, and I hadn't played Mario Sunshine in a really long time. And all it is a port of the game. It's not a remaster. And that game still holds up really well. The music is great. I mean, the controls are awesome. And the graphics look super awesome. So, yeah, you know, I... graphics to me are not the most important thing. Give me tight gameplay. Give me a... in the Mario case, I don't even really need a compelling story. I need to get Princess Peach. And then I have that. I'm good to go. So that's why I love games like Mario and Luigi and Paper Mario, because they give you a ton of story and they're silly. So I get excited, and I love Nintendo, I guess is what I'm saying.
I just can't wait to see this, what the specs are on this thing. Cause, you know, if it makes that jump, it's totally worth an upgrade. But after that, like, I also, the complaint about the controllers being magnetic, like, in theory sounds amazing.
Yeah.
But, and maybe they can be used as a mouse is kind of cool, but like, people seem to think they're going to break easily with that connector, but I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah.
I'm not totally sold on that. Being a deficiency.
We'll see. I agree. We'll see. But you know, on April 2nd, I will be watching the Nintendo Direct.
A lot of people are saying like, oh, like, you know, if my kids play with this thing, it's going to break. I'm like, if it ends up being like a $400 machine, like, you're just going to buy your little children like a $400 machine to play with? Like,
yeah. So in that case, because my boy loves Splatoon on the Switch, and I recognized really early that he doesn't use the controllers like I do. So I got him a wired Mario controller for the Switch, and he has his own controller, and I don't have to worry about him breaking the $90 pro controller I got, you know?
Oh God, that reminds me too. Like, people like complain about the Joy-Cons. They're just like, oh, they're like, they're too small, and like, even as the two version, they're a little bigger, but they still seem small to me. And it's like, well, they have a pro controller, man. Like,
yeah, and the pro controller is awesome.
Yeah, that's all, but I ever play with.
But when I take my Switch with me everywhere, because I love taking a console with me, the Joy-Cons that I use on the side, I think work really well for handheld.
Yeah.
I mean, you're talking to, remember Game Boys and Game Boy Advances? I mean, come on, what are we doing here?
Yeah, I just don't.
People are spoiled, man. They're spoiled.
So spoiled. Yeah. Like, I read comment threads. I just think about like what games were like back when we were kids. Like,
I know.
You have it so good, man.
I know. You know, I remember the same thing when Spider-Man 2 came out, and they said the story is only 30 hours long. I go, what? I remember when I got really good at Mega Man 2, I could beat that whole game in an hour and a half. So you're telling me 30 hours isn't enough? Come on. You're paying $60 for a game for 30 hours. That means you spend $2 an hour playing the game.
I'm sorry your cushy life allowed you 30 hours over the weekend to burn through it. Like,
no, man. What are we doing? Whatever. Everybody can have their own opinion. I think people are spoiled. I grew up with video games. I love video games. I love the old stuff. I've been playing like Wario World on the Game Boy Switch online. I've been having lots of fun.
Yeah.
So
and I'll probably be there on launch day. But
oh, you will be.
I'm also sad because I'm like, I don't know what to do with my old Switch if that happens. Like, I could trade it in, but I don't trade in my stuff.
Well, I can tell you, it kind of breaks your heart because lately I've been thinking about through my life and, you know, I traded in my Mortal Kombat stuff and it made me all depressed. And when I got Christmas money, instead of getting something that I actually could use, I went to level 7 games and I bought Mortal Kombat on Sega Genesis because they had Mortal Kombat 1 and Mortal Kombat 2 complete with like instruction manuals. And I was so happy. And, you know, I couldn't believe that I traded that stuff in.
Yeah.
So now you can be like me where you have to reacquire it and you're spending, I think MK2 was like $30 and MK1 was like 20. And you're talking about games that sold in, you know, tens of millions of copies. So if I really want to get, you know, some of my favorite stuff, it's going to cost me hundreds of dollars.
Oh, I know. As a guy who has buckets of Super Nintendo, Nintendo, N64 cartridges, like, and has found rarer ones since then, it's expensive.
I know, because now, you know, because I have this itch now to finish my collections. And go, man. And I've been watching these documentaries on Amazon about hunting for retro games. I go, man, I really want my Mega Mans back. But those are so expensive.
Yeah.
But maybe one day I'll stumble into, you know, something and I'll get lucky.
Do you have a Genesis?
I don't.
So they're just displays.
Yeah, games. Because I decided because when we moved into our house and I have all this room now, I have so much Mortal Kombat stuff. I mean, I have all the Mortal Kombats from PS2 and on. So I don't need to get those ones. But those ones aren't expensive.
So you're also going to get like the 3DO versions and stuff? Or
yeah, if I can find them, I will. When I was at level 7, I did look in the 32X and the Dreamcast area and the Jaguar. And those ones, I'm guessing, are going to be really expensive. But, you know, it's more fun to kind of track them down than I don't even know what they are online. I couldn't even tell you.
Yeah, I mean, you could probably just jump to eBay really fast and get stuff. But, yeah, I'm trying to find, like, the movie version of the Street Fighter, like the Street Fighter movie game.
On the PlayStation?
No, on Saturn, you know.
Oh, on Saturn.
And, like, yeah, I could go to eBay and get it, but it's ridiculously expensive. And
so if you're telling me if I see it somewhere, I should buy it for you?
If you see it for really cheap, like maybe $20, okay. Let me know.
but what's the cap on it you would spend?
Probably 40.
Okay. Well, if I find it for 60, Brad, I'll eat the $20 so you can have it.
Thanks. In today's finances, yeah, that's about as high as I go.
Yeah, I know. I gotcha. I mean, it's a little ridiculous that I spent. Well, I mean, I guess it's really money that was extra. You know, it was given to me by my in-laws.
Yeah.
But still, you know, it was really cool because I reread the instruction manuals. And on the Mortal Kombat one, I know some people won't like it. But when I got to the back, there was some kid's handwriting about the fatalities. And I really liked that. That that he had to figure them out and he wrote them down. You know, I liked it. So I thought it gave it a personality.
It's like you bought a little bit of his life.
Yeah. And what I did is I actually took the instruction manuals out and put them in comic book board and bagged it so they won't get ruined again. And I won't lose them. Really, I think the most expensive Genesis Mortal Kombat I'm going to have to find is Ultimate Mortal Kombat 3 because it came in one of the, remember when they put them in the paper or cardboard boxes?
Yeah.
That one, that one's going to be hard to find it doesn't have to be in perfect shape, but I'd like it complete where it comes with a box and the manual.
Speaking of protecting things, you should check out retroprotection.com. They have like plastic cases to go over stuff like that.
Oh.
So, in like plastic bags for, game manuals and things.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I bought tons of plastic cases for like game boxes and things.
What's like, it one more time?
Retroprotection.com. It might be hyphenated. But yeah.
Bunker, I just type in retro protection because I did spend $80 on Steelbook protectors for 100 of them. And then I realized I need about 200 more of them. So
Yeah. I've also got a bunch of VHS protectors from, you know, console boxes. For the longest time, they didn't have a Virtual Boy one. So I like shipped one in from England. And then like a couple months later, they finally got added it. I was like, ah, damn it.
Yeah. Well, because, you know, I'm on the same boat with you for the Switch. So I actually didn't get the Switch when it launched. I got it in October with the Super Mario Odyssey version. So I still have that box and I don't really want to get rid of it because I love the art on it. And Super Mario Odyssey is one of my favorite games ever. So,
and often like later on those custom versions, like, you know, they had like a Zelda one too. Like those versions are highly valuable.
Yeah. Like I don't know. Like I mean, maybe on this one, the only difference is it has a red Joy-Con. Mario red, but I mean, it's still cool.
But like the N64 Pikachu model, you know, that's like,
oh gosh,
the coveted one now when we were just like laughing at it at the game store, you know?
Oh, well, remember when Nintendo 64, how many colors did they come out with? I remember the purple one never sold. He always had the purple one.
There's black, orange, ice, purple.
Green,
red,
right?
Green and red, yeah.
Yep.
I don't think I've ever seen a clear red one in person.
I don't think so either. But yeah, I mean, even if now, if I'm in something, if I saw a cool N64 box, the one I'm always looking for is Conker's Bad Fur Day. Mm. You know, do you have that?
I do.
In the box?
Yeah, I do.
Oh, man. Son of a bitch.
Saved all that shit.
Good man. Good man.
Yeah, those are hard. Like when those paper boxes back in the day, like they were.
Yep.
They didn't have, you know, protective sleeves back then.
Yeah, so. And I remember that. I remember that game coming out, and it was insane. Like, yeah.
What, Conker?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it was fun. It's still a fun game. I remember the Mighty Pooh and.
Yeah, was it? It was so controversial because there was swearing in it or something.
Oh yeah.
And now it's like. So tame.
I mean, it's not too bad in the box. It's only $240.
Sick. Yeah.
Your butt. Dude, sealed, graded by WADA on eBay is $2,000. Ooh. Graded 8.85. Wow. There you go. Cool. This week, Real Nerds Podcast, we saw The Wolfman, or just Wolfman. Brad, do you recommend Wolfman?
Oh, yeah, we do a movie podcast. It's okay. I think there's like a more interesting idea in there, but it's pretty slow. Like, it is a very slow moving movie. What'd you think?
I don't think it's bad. I don't think it's great. I'm somewhere in the middle of it. Anyways, I guess if you want to see a werewolf, is it a werewolf movie? If you want to see a monster movie, I guess you could do worse in the middle of January. Here's a trailer for Wolfman.
Ginger? Ginger, are you okay? Look at me. Look at me. Charlotte, are you hurt? Are you hurt? Are you okay? Hey, we gotta get out of this thing. Hey, no, no, no. Don't move. Climb up through the window right there. You can do it. You'll be okay. You okay? We have to leave right now. Run.
I we gonna die?
No, it's my job to protect you.
And we were attacked. I think my husband was infected. Mike. Mike. Mike.
Daddy. Daddy.
What's wrong with Daddy?
He got sick.
What is happening to me?
Can you understand me? You're scaring me.
Back off!
Me, Daddy, is me. Hurry, Mommy, he's coming.
Come on.
Wolfman as stars some guy who I don't think I've ever seen him in anything before.
He was in Craven. He's the the guy who's like,
oh, he's the foreigner in Craven.
Foreigner, yeah.
Wow, there we go. So I have seen him very recently. I do know the woman is in Ozark and she's going to be the Silver Surfer. Anyways, their family,
Christopher Abbott and Julia Garner.
Yep. She's great in the movie, by the way. But it opens with this guy, Blake, who's a kid, and his dad is, you know, some army nut job, I guess. And they're hunting supposedly deer, but there's also a wolfman person that lives in the mountains because he went missing a couple years prior. And they run into him. And then the boy hates his dad, so he leaves. And 30 years later has passed, and you find out that dad's dead. He has to go back to reclaim his home. And on the way home, he's attacked by said wolfman, which, by the way, we're in spoilers. I knew it was going to be his dad.
Yeah. So telegraphed, yeah.
It is 100% telegraphed. And, yeah, then he turns into a werewolf. Not even a werewolf. I don't even know what the fuck he is.
A wolf man.
I guess technically is a wolf that is a man.
Traditionally, when they do the transformation, it's like from man to wolf. But in this movie, it's very much like a combo of the two.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, you're right. It takes a little bit to get going. And I'm cool with it. The only thing I'm not cool with is the really heavy-handed melodrama where, you know, he says, you know, you protect your kids from getting the scars, not realizing that you might be the one scarring them. You know, okay, cool.
Yeah. Now I was on board with like a movie that turns the Wolfman into a story about generational trauma.
Yeah, no, 100%.
It's like, doesn't feel like that's the whole movie. It just feels like it's here, and then the rest of it's just monster movie.
Yeah, and you know, honestly, too, I was telling my wife about this. When I hear Wolfman, I want him to look like a wolf, like not some rabid, hairy fucker.
Burn victim. Yeah,
yeah, and I thought the creature design left a lot to be desired. I thought it was cool that he transformed on camera through practical effects,
really slowly.
Yeah, you know. When he runs out into the field and he breaks his own jaw and stuff. I mean, stuff like that's cool. I wanted more, you know, I just wanted more from it. It just felt like all it was doing was building towards something. And the building never really paid off, in my opinion.
Yeah.
You know, it's, you either go full bore or you, I don't know. It felt like it was kind of half-assed.
Like, it felt like it was building towards, like, the reveal that, like, oh, his dad is the Wolfman. But, like, that's, like, halfway through the movie. So, like, after that, you're just like, okay, well, he's dead. So now what are they going to do? Like,
Yeah.
I guess terrorize his family, but it seems like he wanted them to kill him.
Yeah. And
kill
always...
me. It was cool when he bit off his own foot to get out of the trap, but
yeah, like
I don't know. Like, it seems cool. Like he has the strength to open the trap, so I don't know why he felt he had to do that.
Yeah. There's some scenes that are really cool. I liked just before that when they're in the barn and it's really dark and they can't see him and he's right next to him and goes to wolf vision and he can kind of see him. The ideas are cool. And I just think it just didn't quite make it to the finish line.
Yeah.
I wanted more.
It felt like the wolf vision was like, oh, here's our contribution to the lore. It's like you get to see wolf vision.
Yeah.
But then it doesn't really do anything for the story. Like it doesn't help him succeed in any way and it doesn't defeat him.
Yeah.
So it's just like, it's just an alternate view of the movie.
And then I always, sometimes I run these problems with horror films. And so he's this wolf monster thing that can just rip things apart. And then he kind of just toys with his family. I mean, shouldn't he just be unrelenting and trying to kill him? And then towards the end, he's like, you know what? Kill me.
Well, if werewolves has taught us anything, is that you are in control of your faculties when you change.
Oh, fuck. I didn't even think about the lore that werewolves brought to the monsters, you know? Yeah, I mean, it's not like a bad movie. I enjoyed parts of it, but yeah, it takes a long time to get there. And I remember watching this and I go, man, when's the werewolf thing going to happen?
And yeah.
You're about, 50 minutes into the movie before it starts actually getting intense.
Yeah. And then when he fights his dad, like you said, like you're used to them, like just shredding people and eviscerating them, but like somehow they just toss him across the room over and over again.
Yep.
Until he slits his throat. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, I've seen worse movies. I guess I just expected more after his Invisible Man. So.
And some of the dialogue was bad. Like there's that whole part where like his daughter's like, I just want daddy to be himself again. Like, yeah, no shit.
Yeah.
An obvious thing to say. Yeah, he got sick. Like, that's not sick. It's fucking infected.
And what would be even cooler, and I know they would never do this in a movie, this is why I'm not in charge. They have that thing where she says, I can read your mind, and you're saying you love my daughter. If I was making this movie and she did that while he was, pretty much Wolfman, I'd have him like rip her arm off or something. Because people wouldn't expect it.
Yeah. I'm not your dad anymore. I'm a wolf.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, it's interesting. And yeah, I like the idea of, childhood traumas and how you can inflict that on your kids is an interesting allegory for a werewolf.
Yeah.
But I just wanted more.
It would make you ask the question, like, was he more, like, if he's so angry, like, is it inherently that he's like the wolf man or did the infection make him the wolf,
Yeah.
But no, it's very much like the infection.
Because I think it'd be interesting if, it'd be an interesting twist if you're watching this and he's turning into a werewolf. And then at the end, it's kind of revealed that he never was one. He was just a fucking asshole. I mean, that'd be interesting, but
it'd be more in line with like the Invisible Man where it's like,
exactly.
The guy is actually like a toxic dude who's, if he's just like naturally like inherited his anger from his dad and he just, without even being the wolf, get like, it'd be more interesting if he was even worse as the man and not the wolf.
Exactly. And if only the people would see him as the werewolf or the wolf. And he never really changed. He was just him. I think that would be interesting. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, Corinne sent us a Showtime. I'm going to go ahead and play that
right
now.
Hey, it's Corinne here for another installment of Showtime, where I tell you all about something cool I've been watching lately. This week, I'm going to catch you all up on Star Wars Skeleton Crew. Yes, the new Star Wars live-action show. All 8 episodes are out as of recording this. And I have to say, pretty good, pretty good. I think we're kind of on the right track with... Oh, man. Okay, maybe I should talk about... the show first, and then I'll talk about Star Wars. No spoilers for the show, just to be clear. Like I said, I thought it was well made. It is somewhat derivative of, like, the Goonies and a few other things. Mostly the Goonies. They definitely pay homage to a lot of, you know, 80s family-friendly fare, you know, like E.T. There's also definitely, like, a Stranger Things sort of vibe to it at some points. But, yeah, I've seen the Goonies. It's been a long time, so I don't remember it too well. But, I mean, as far as, like, the archetypes, I think, like, the characters fit into the archetypes very nicely. I say good things about the show. The acting was good. I thought the production value was good. The characters were all very, like, you get attached to them really fast. At least I did. You know, the kids, the young actors all did a fantastic job. And so you really felt very endeared to these characters and invested in their journey. I don't want to say too much. As far as the way it's structured, I think it could meander a little bit sometimes, but I think they kind of kept a decent pace. Like, you know, big things aren't really going to happen until the finale. And so they do take some moments to have, like, quieter, like, character moments and just kind of, like, you know, those beats to really fill in, like, who these people are, so that when shit hits the fan at the end of the season, you have a better understanding of who everybody is. That being said, the finale that came out just earlier this week, I think it could have been longer. The final episode was only, like, 30, 35 minutes. I think it could have been 40, 45 minutes easily. There are definitely a lot of... This is where we started talking about the whole, like, where Star Wars is a franchise thing. I wanted a little bit more definitive answers on some of the stuff. And I think the pacing in the final episode was a little weird because it's like some sequences went on too long. Others, I think, were too short. And there were some really big themes that it's like we could have, like, dwelt on that a little bit more. But it was like, no. Like, we don't have time. We got to keep it moving. And I understand it's, you know, very much an action-based family adventure. And so it's like, yes, the sequences at the end were very well done. I was very hyped about everything that happened. So, yeah. As far as where this fits into the larger franchise and where I feel like Star Wars is at right now, because, of course, you all know I'm a big Star Wars fan. Between The Acolyte, this, and then we're getting Andor Season 2 here later in the year, I'm like, live-action Star Wars is in this very weird trajectory right now, because like the Mandoverse shows, which Skeleton Crew is technically a Mandoverse show, I guess mild spoilers, but there aren't any really big cameos in the show, which I thought was kind of surprising. You know, even in the finale where I figured, oh, somebody's gonna show up, we're gonna see, you know, XYZ character, and we never did, and I was like genuinely kind of surprised. Yeah, I mean, in one sense, I'm like, yay, we don't see the same, like, five characters in everything. But, even when it would make sense for them to show up, but, you know, again, it was like, I appreciated that this was literally and figuratively a new corner of the galaxy that we were getting to explore, and we're not focusing on the same, like, 10 characters in the Mandoverse. Like, yes, this is still set at the same time as the Mandoverse, but it's not the same story. It's not the same characters. And again, there wasn't really any crossover. There's one side character in the pirate crew, who was in Mando season 3. You might not even recognize him. Like, he's kind of a background character. He has a few lines here and there, but nobody ever calls attention to, like, hey, you were in Mando season 3 or something. Yes. Something like that. Like, yeah. But yeah, The Acolyte, I know, I was kind of like meh about it. Some aspects of The Acolyte I enjoyed, and some of it I was like, this was a little wonky. But I do feel like The Acolyte really hurt the franchise as a whole, and apparently, like, the viewership for Skeleton Crew is really low. I'm worried it's not going to get a second season. This is the problem with Disney Star Wars right now, is over-promising and under-delivering, at least as far as, like, the live-action stuff is concerned. Animation, I'm not going to comment on. You all know I'm a big fan of the Star Wars animation. But as far as the live-action shows go, it's like, oh, you know, we're going to bring in all these big names. We're going to bring in all these cool characters that you love. And then you see them, and it's like, the writing's weird. Everything is kind of, like, playing out in a very wonky way. And just, you're kind of like, what? So we waited how many years to see these characters again? And then you're just going to act, I don't know. It's just, yeah. So I think the Acolyte hurt the franchise. The fact that they have not yet confirmed that there's a season 2 for Skeleton Crew. Like, it sounds, based on what I've seen online, it sounds like the creators have ideas for season 2, and that's good. You know, I definitely wouldn't want them to be like, well, you know, if they give us a season 2, we'll have to come up with something. You know, they definitely have a direction forward. I just wish that Disney had already greenlit it, because I do not like what happened with the Acolyte, and what might end up happening with Skeleton Crew, is that they don't give them a season 2. That there are these dangling plot threads, and we don't get any kind of closure for the characters, for the plot. You know, that there's still so much story left to tell, but we're not going to find out about it. You know, or at least not in a show. Like, maybe it'd be in a comic book or novel or something, but, you know, it's like, this is a TV show. I want to see more of the TV show. I should not have to go seek out, you know, these other things to finish the story of this TV show. And that also plays into the whole, you know, people were like, oh, well, maybe the Skeleton Crew kids are going to show up in the Mando and Grogu movie. And I'm like, cameos are one thing. Cameos are fine. But I should not have to go to the Mando and Grogu movie to see the next chapter of the Skeleton Crew story. And I know that this is something that, you know, started with the Marvel, or like with the MCU and everything. So this is definitely not anything new, but as far as like Star Wars goes, it's just frustrating. I should not have to go seek out a whole different movie to see the continuation of Skeleton Crew. And it's unfortunate, because I think part of the problem, and it's not just Star Wars, I think the MCU has this problem too, where they treat the TV shows like movies, and that can work if it is a self-contained story. It begins and it ends. Totally. Like, there is not going to be a season 2, and I think Obi-Wan Kenobi was probably the closest to that, but, like, with Mando, with the Book of Boba Fett, with Ahsoka, definitely with Ahsoka, you know, they leave it open-ended because they, you know, like, well, if we get a season 2, we're going to want to explore this again. And with Skeleton Crew, it's like, there's definitely a lot of things that need to be explored if and when they get a season 2. But the problem is they might not get a season 2. And it's like, why are you treating this like a movie when it's clearly a TV show? I bemoaned this when the Acolyte came out too, but I wish that Disney gave these creatives, you know, they told them, or I think this is what happened with the Andor creator. I can't remember his name, but the Andor showrunner was like, I want 2 seasons, like, wrote it into his contract. He's like, you are giving me 2 seasons. I am going to tell this story beginning to end. You are not canceling me midway through. And I wish that they did that with everybody. They told them from the get-go, you're getting 1 season, 1 season only, or you're getting 2 seasons, or you're getting, you know, or something. You know, don't leave me hanging. Don't leave us hanging. It's so frustrating. yeah. Anyway, I've bitched about Star Wars long enough. Y'all get it. But yeah, Skeleton Crew was great. Honestly, I think I would, I saw other people were trying to rank like the 7 Star Wars live action shows. I think I would put Skeleton Crew at like 2 or 3. I haven't seen Andor in a while, so I might have to do a season 1 rewatch. Mandalorian, even though season 3 was really bad, but if we're combining all the seasons of Mandalorian and evaluating the show as a whole, I think Mandalorian is good enough that it would probably be number 1 or number 2, depending on where Andor would end up. But Andor Skeleton Crew and Mando would definitely be top three. Obi-Wan Kenobi, Ahsoka, Book of Boba Fett's like seven. I hated that show. I mean, the Mando episodes are great. Everything else is like the first four episodes are all totally stupid. The seventh one is stupid, but for different reasons. And then the five and six are fine. But yeah, Ahsoka, the Acolyte. I don't know. I think I might go like, I don't know. It's literally a race to the bottom. Like, they're all so bad, but in different ways. Yeah, it's not a big deal. But anyway, but those would be my bottom four for sure. But yeah, I'd say that Andor, Mando, the whole show, not just, if it was like, season three would like definitely be, if it was his own thing, season three would definitely be at the bottom. But yeah, Mando, Mandalorian, and then Skeleton Crew. Yeah, those three would all be at the top somewhere, some order. But yeah, I might have to do an Andor rewatch, but I watched it a couple years ago with my family when I was home for Christmas or something, and and not to say I didn't like it, but it's just really depressing, and it's very well made, especially for a live-action Star Wars show, you know. It has great themes, it's great writing, you know, keeps me on the edge of my seat and everything, but, well, sort of. I mean, you know it. You know Cassian has to live to the very end, but as far as, like, all the side characters, you're like, oh, no. But, yeah, it's very depressing, and I get that. That's the story they wanted to tell, and it's a very good story, and it's definitely one we need right now. That's what I'm trying to say. So, all right, I'm going to sign off here, but it's good to talk to you guys, and I don't know what I'll have for you next time. A lot of anime has come back from break, so maybe you'll hear from me about some anime next time, or maybe it'll be one of my other TV shows or a movie, or who knows. I do have like a running list of all the Nerds movies from Filmsplosion I haven't seen, you know, like Hundreds of Beavers and a couple of other things I can't remember off the top of my head, but there are some things I want to watch that the Nerds recommended, so I might check in with you guys next time about that, but we will see. So I will talk to you guys next time about something, and until then, keep it real, Nerds. Bye.
Oh, you, Corinne. I can't believe you went and saw Wolfman and loved it.
Yeah, that didn't happen.
I haven't heard the thing yet, so I don't know what to talk about. I did forget to tell my story about the Wolfman.
Oh, yeah. Tell the story.
Yeah. So I went and saw it, and I was the only other person in the theater versus this couple that sat way in the back. And right away, I was like, this is not going to go well because I can hear the whispering during the trailers. So I waited out, and for a good 30 minutes of the movie, they were like flashing their phone occasionally. So like lighting up the theater. And then the girl was just like constantly like whispering. And so I was like, I can't take it anymore. And I walked up and I sat down right behind her. Didn't say anything. And she of course got weirded out, but they didn't say anything to me until about, I don't know, 5 minutes go by, and she finally turns around and she's like, can we help you with something? I was like, nope. And just kept watching the movie. And then about a minute or two goes by, and she's like, do you have to sit there? And I was like, no, but I figure, you know, if I have to listen to you guys talk, I might as well get the full experience. Then the guy's like, dude, it's an empty theater. What's the big deal? And I was like, it's not an empty theater. I'm here, and I have to listen to you guys talk through it. And then, like, he got redundant again. I was just like, well, can you just sit somewhere else? Like, and I was like, I can sit wherever I want. And then finally, they just got up and left.
Nice.
Yeah. So, and then about, like, I don't know, 10 minutes later, the manager came in and talked to me.
Oh, really?
Yeah. He's like, hey, just wanted to ask you what happened in here. And I told him what I told you. He's like, okay, well, I just wanted to get both sides of the story. So I'm pretty sure like they walked out and asked for a refund when they didn't deserve it. But yeah, it just goes to show you like the mentality of those people that like they're, you know, it was a private experience for them. Even though I was there, it's like, even though I was there, it was still an empty theater to them.
Yeah. You know, it doesn't matter what you say.
But yeah, score one for my team.
Nice.
Yeah, I mean, I felt like shit afterwards. I was like, why do I, like, I wasn't in the wrong, was I?
No.
Like, acting like a creep to get them to leave.
Yeah, fuck them.
Yeah, that's what I thought. But I still felt bad. But today I'm feeling like, I think I won one. That's pretty good.
Nice. Good for you.
Last time I called someone out, you know, they knocked me to the ground.
So yeah.
It's nice to like just sit there and watch the movie afterwards.
Hell yeah. I love it.
So yeah, that I guess that's the solution is just if anyone's doing that to you and telling them to be quiet doesn't work, which it usually doesn't, just go sit behind them and make them feel like there's a creep behind them and they'll leave.
Love it. This is a big news of the week.
It's real news.
Really, the only big thing is David Lynch passed away at the age of 79. He made a lot of interesting films.
Yeah, I've only seen Mulholland Drive.
No, yeah, that's an interesting one.
Yeah. And that was like 20 years ago, so I need to... Well, I guess I saw some episodes of Twin Peaks recently. But yeah, he's definitely a avant-garde filmmaker.
Yeah, I mean, he made things the way he wanted to make them. So, I mean, Elephant Man and Blue Velvet and Mulholland Drive is the one that always sticks with me. I always remember the little mini people that were in it, but, you know.
I don't. I remember that, like, I don't know, decaying blob of a person in the window.
Yeah.
I was like, what the fuck was that?
He definitely makes movies how he wants to make them, and I respect that.
Yeah, I mean, if you're going to be an artist, and especially a director, like, you should have your own vision, and he definitely had his own vision. Actually, I guess I did watch some of the original Dune, but I stopped watching because I didn't, like, spoil the story for me.
Yeah, it was okay.
Yeah, again, weird.
Yep. We watch films throughout the week in a segment I call What We've Been Watching.
So, yeah, this is the stuff we've been watching.
Brad, what'd you watch this week?
It's going to be so interesting to talk about something I did see recently. Not that these episodes are not timely. Real quick, I watched The Umbrellas of Cherbourg, which is a French musical. I didn't know
that sounds
going
horrible.
In. And the thing about this movie is that the director was like, I don't like it when musicals sing and then they stop singing and then they go back to singing. So they sing the whole movie.
Oh.
About everything they're doing.
That's a lot like Les Miserables.
Is it? I haven't seen Les Mis. So yeah. And it's about this girl who's in love with this guy, but he goes off to war. But he gets her pregnant before he goes. And so she's stuck raising the kid. And then some other dude comes along and proposes to her. And she's like, I don't know if I should wait for my lover to come back or I should just like get on with my life. And she decides to get on with her life. And he comes back and finds out that she's not around anymore for him. And so he has to figure out how to start over without her. And that's the movie. But sung.
Awesome, man. And in French. So...
Yeah, I mean, the colors and production, the Technicolor production design is great. But yeah, the story wasn't that interesting to me. And the singing got tedious because there's like, you know, some jewelry store guy singing about his collection and stuff. Just like, I don't know, not my taste. And then the other thing I saw was a newer movie called Night Call, which is another French film, actually, but modern. About a locksmith in France on the night of a Black Lives Matter protest. Some girl calls him to get into her apartment, but he finds out that it's not her apartment. It's someone else's, and she's trying to steal something from him. And then he gets caught by the people who own that stuff. And then, you know, they make him try to track her down and get it back, or else he's going to kill it, or else they're going to kill him. And, yeah, I thought it was pretty cool. For a small budget indie, like, it's pretty action packed.
Like, sorry, my kid's going crazy.
Yeah, I can hear it. it's pretty action packed. There's quite a few car chases and a lot of chases, and gunplay. And actually, there's at one point the villains take him to this brothel to try to track someone down. And as they scan through the rooms, one of the TVs is actually playing The Evil Dead.
Oh, hell yeah.
So Bruce Campbell's on there. So it's like, oh, this might be a French movie Ryan can get into. yeah, in the credits, they thank Sam Raimi. So I think maybe he and Rob Tappert. So maybe they had a hand in producing it somehow. Or maybe it's just a thank you for The Evil Dead or something. But yeah, it's pretty cool chase movie, I thought. You know, also, like, the lead is just like this, young black kid and not some, like, write it out, you know, action dude or like Statham-y dude. You know, he's pretty non-threatening, you know?
Yeah.
He has to, like, deal with all these, like, heavies, you know? So.
And what was the name of it again? Sorry, my kid was talking when you said it.
Yeah, it's called Night Call. I assume is, like, he's doing a night call for a locksmithing job. So, yeah, and before I went in not knowing it, I was like, that's just kind of a generic, I don't know what this describes the movie name, but having seen it, I'm just like, oh, it's probably just in reference to the fact that he has this one night job that goes awry.
And where do you see these French movies at?
Is it the Alamo?
Oh.
Yeah. It might still be playing, I don't know. But yeah. If you can sit through some subtitles, it's pretty cool.
Yeah, no, I don't mind. I keep on getting I get off of work, and so I've been watching it in parts, but I picked up this Arrow video of a movie called Torso, and it's Italian, and it's goofy and violent, and I won't render judgment on it because I've only seen half of it, but as soon as I do, I will.
Speaking of what you've been watching, I think I can guess what you watched this week. Are you going to talk about Spookies?
I am.
I thought so.
Have you seen it?
I haven't seen it.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I've seen it on the shelf and been, like, curious about it. So why don't you tell me?
So if you're looking for a coherent, well-directed and acted film, look somewhere else. it's one of those. It's an infamous movie, you know, and because I knew a little bit about it beforehand. So the story is these people go to this abandoned house and it turns into kind of an Evil Dead kind of vibe, where there's demons chasing them all around and trying to kill them. And I mean, it's low budget. The people that made the creature effects, though, you can tell they're, you know, somewhat talented. They just don't have the money. So there's some cool, like, gore and creature death and creature killing people. And there's also a second movie in this where it opens with, like, this kid walking through a forest and some cat man, werewolf kind of thing, stalking him. And then he meets some random grifter who's in the forest too, asks the kid for a light, for a cigarette. And you think he's a bad guy. Oh, no, he's murdered by the Catman thing. And this kid's name's Billy, and he's talking about how it's his birthday. And he goes into this abandoned home. And this is before the, like, movie even really gets going. He goes into this abandoned home and he says out loud, "What? Dad, you didn't forget my birthday? Mom, Dad, are you here?"
It's, I mean, I don't know why this kid thinks that his parents threw him a surprise party in an abandoned mansion. And it tries to be creepy, and it's really not. And then when you watch the special features, it's interesting because that part of the film and this wraparound story with this old Dracula uncle fucker guy, I don't even know, trying to get his wife back to life, is this wraparound story that makes no sense. But you find out that the original movie was called Twisted Souls, and the producer didn't like it, so he paid to have more movie made with the that kid Billy and then this like wraparound bookended part of the story. And then they have the actors were talking about it in the making of. There's two documentaries on the Blu-ray, so that's really cool. And each one's like 2 hours long. There's a whole extra disc in it. You can pick it up at Vinegar Syndrome Denver. I think it's $24. The documentaries are way better than the movie. But I guess the actors didn't even know either. And some of the actors said, yeah, there's some parts where I'm reacting to something, nothing on camera. And I was like, oh yeah, he was, because they're supposed to add all this stuff in post. But since they changed the movie, now it just looks like this guy is running around and ducking from nothing. It's whatever. The making of it and the Blu-ray is better than the movie. But there is some really cool like death scenes in it, and it's gory. So, you know, there's that.
When I screened Jean-Claude Van Damme's Damn Van for the first time without the effects in it, people told me I should just leave it like that.
Oh, man.
So I know what that's like.
Would you ever release a raw cut of it like that?
Oh, it's on the Blu-ray.
I never got the Blu-ray, so I don't know.
Oh. Yeah, I left that version's like, it's an Easter egg thing, so if you click around the menu, you can get to it.
Can I still purchase the Blu-ray, Brad?
You can. There's plenty of copies here.
Guys, I'll take one. I have the soundtrack. I don't have the Blu-ray, though.
Cool. Yeah, I'll get you one.
Cool. It's made my day.
Made my day. I sold one.
Yeah, hell yeah.
I always imagined I was going to sell more of these things, and nope.
I will. What's it cost? $400?
Exactly 400. Thank you.
Because I heard it's a rare item.
It's very rare. I made a bunch of materials for like 100 copies, but I've only actually made 20 of them. So,
well, you know, make sure you at Fan Expo we bring copies.
I know, fucking idiot. It's been around for like 2 years now. I should have sold them there.
Yep. Well, this year, buddy. This year.
This year, like Jean-Claude Van Damme actually shows up to the con for some reason, and I get busted.
No, if he shows up, you have to pay for him to get an autograph. You have to.
He's like, hey, I'm not getting any money for this. Shut this kid down.
You have to explain to him that it's from the Funny or Die thing and what you did with it. I bet he'll like it.
And then Van Damme and Funny or Die sue me. Double lawsuit.
Thanks, Ryan. Great idea.
Yeah. Fuck yourself. Just destroy the Camp Crystal Lake set. What else did you watch?
And the last thing I watched was, it's called Three Smart Girls Grow Up. It is a musical, okay, which you love, from 1939, which makes you probably even want to watch it more. What I didn't know, it's a sequel to a movie.
Did Two Smart Girls Grow Up?
No, I think it's called Smart Girls, or I forget. I can look it up real fast. But it's actually really funny. It's about these three sisters who, one is getting married and, the other one is in love with her fiance. So the one daughter who is, kind of the main character played by Deanna Durbin, who's, wonderful in the film. Her name's Penny. So she tries to set her up with this guy that she met in her musical theater class. And it turns out that
he is in love with a sister that's going to get married, and the sister's going to get married is actually in love with him too. So then it's kind of a screwball comedy wrapped up in a musical. It's really funny. It's really cute. So the original is called Three Smart Girls. And this one, that's which I've never seen. And I got this for $6 at Twist and Shout, because I'm going to be going on Zach's podcast, recapping our favorite films from 1939. And when I flipped it over, it said it was from 1939. So I was like, hey, you know what? Why not? And I found out that it's only available, this Blu-ray is only available in the Deanna Durbin like collection, and it's out of print. So you can't even get the rest of the movies in it. And someone just randomly traded in this movie from this collection that you can't buy separately. So I think I got away with one here. And it's really delightful. The music's fun in it. It's just a cute movie, and it isn't the traditional musical where it's, you know, 2.5-3 hours long. It's maybe 85 minutes. So it moves really quick, and it's funny. So if you're ever in the mood to watch a 1939 musical, Brad, I recommend Three Smart Girls Grow Up.
You know how likely that is that I'm in a mood for that musical.
But, you know, the difference between you and Corinne is you would watch it just because you like film.
Not I would.
Just yeah, see, I mean, come on, Corinne, come on.
Actually, did you say it was, like, in the Academy Awards or something?
It was, yeah.
So it might end up on our other idea we had for Filmplosions.
Yeah, let me check. I think it was for Best Original Song. So, Brad, what are we watching next week? I have no idea.
Oof, yeah, we didn't decide that, did we?
I mean, I kind of want to see The Brutalist, but I know it's 3.5 hours long.
It is on my list. I just haven't gotten to it because it is 3.5 hours long.
Yeah, I so, like, there is an intermission in it, so.
Yeah, it's just like the latest showtime is usually like 6:45, so. Yeah,
I have to
find time to do it. Maybe I'll do it today.
Well.
Since I can't see Grand Theft
for any awards,
Hamlet.
But, you know. I know, I would take my kid to see that because there's a showing of it later today, but tonight. But well, I don't know if it's rated R. I don't know if.
Yeah, it's probably got a lot of swearing in it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's the Grand Theft Auto engine, so there's probably like hookers and things.
Well, when you see it, you let me know.
Yeah.
But we'll figure out a movie because that's what we do here.
Yeah, maybe Brutalist or Grand Theft Hamlet. We'll see.
Yeah, we'll figure it out. Until next time. We'll see you at the movie.
A real nerd knows who shot. A real nerd can follow the plot. A real nerd will turn out all the gods. Lights, camera, action. Real nerds.
Thanks for listening to Real Nerds Podcast, a Nebulous Visions production. Stream or download episodes, read articles at realnerdspodcast.com. Stream us on Apple or Google Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, or iHeartRadio. Follow us on Facebook, Real Nerds Podcast. Twitter and Instagram, at Real Nerds. Watch us on YouTube, Real Nerds Podcast. Email us at realnerds@gmail.com. Call us at 720-6NERDS5. Thank you to Sparks Mandrill, Mike at Plan 9 Studios, and Bolognium for all of our groovy theme songs. And that's how you fucking do it!